Welcome to the ProWrestling.net Ring of Honor podcast. My name's Hayden Gleeds, and I will be your guide through this ROH TV recap. I'm back, baby! In the words of Andrew Scott, I believe, who played the fantastic Moriarty on the BBC adaptation of Sherlock, did you miss me? With more information about where I've been, and of course, some might say the more important Ring of Honor recap, stay tuned after this break. And we are back. Before we get into the fun stuff, let's get into the plug. Obviously, this is the all-access audio for the Ring of Honor podcast. Now, basically, that means that you get this for free, for nothing. Nothing at all. Now, behind the paywall of ProWrestling.net is a ton of audio. I mean, literally, if you put it on a weighing scale, it would weigh more than an elephant. You get recaps of all the major television wrestling shows in the US, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, 205 Live, Impact, is it Impact Wrestling this week? God knows. And also, obviously, Ring of Honor. You also get the Progress Wrestling audio review. I have actually been doing it in written form, but now that I'm back in audio, I will be continuing with the audio recaps of the UK-based Progress Wrestling moving forward. You also get other shows such as the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. You also get the Q&A session with Jason Powell. And, of course, you get the flagship show, which is the .NET Weekly audio show, which is basically either myself or one of the other members of the staff who joined Jason to run down the news of the week. And there's often first-run material on that actual show. If you want more information about the actual price of .NET membership and all the other stuff and all the other benefits that you get from becoming a member, then check out the main pages of ProWrestling.net, click in the join area, and I'm sure you'll find a price point that is beneficial to you. So jump on board and you'll get a lot more of this audio. So with that out of the way, as you can tell, I'm a little bit rusty with my plugging, but I'm sure you can forgive me for that. It's actually been 3 or 4 months since my last audio show on ProWrestling.net. I've had terrible problems with my throat. I'm not going to go into graphic detail, but basically they found something on one of my vocal cords, and for months and months and months leading up to sort of July, mid-July, I was having terrible problems with just my voice going at random points. You may have heard it on some of the audios that I did. A lot of it I did manage to sort of cut out, but my voice would just go. And I would literally be voiceless for a good couple of minutes. Now, a lot of people might say that's probably a good thing, especially my friends, and my girlfriend was especially ecstatic sometimes when I would just be in the middle of a rant and my voice would just go. But obviously it was something that needed to be sorted out, and basically the treatment that I had sorted it. There was talk of perhaps having surgery and things like that, which is never good, especially around the throat area, but luckily enough it seems, touch wood, to be all okay, so I am back and I'm rearing to go. There might be some weeks where I might have to take a bit of a rest if my throat is causing any issues, but moving forward, I should be back on a weekly basis. Now, the one thing that you may have missed more than anything, apart from my obviously beautiful tones, is my Wales weather update of the week. It's cold. End of. But of course, you are actually here to hear the Ring of Honor TV recap. This show was originally taped on September 23rd in Las Vegas, Nevada at Sam's Town Live. It aired in syndication over the weekend, a nice little stutter there. And of course, it was on Monday on the Fight TV app. I'm going to be using Jason Powell's written review, which is on the main pages of ProWrestling.net right now. So if you wish to follow along, then by all means do so. Before we actually get into it, my overall thoughts, obviously there's been a lot going on with Ring of Honor in terms of the TV shows and the pay-per-views or iPay-per-views or whatever they've been doing, one-off specials, etc., since the last time we spoke. And a lot of it has been good, but nothing that I would say has really blown me away. I have been keeping up on the product. I may have missed a week or two here or there, but I have been keeping up with with the majority of the shows that they've produced, but nothing has really blown me away. Now, it's still a company that I'm still passionate about, which is why I wanted to come back and do this audio, and it's still a company that I think produces a fantastic weekly show every so often. But at the same time, I do feel that they have sort of stagnated a little bit. They seem to be taking two steps forward and one step back, which is fine because ultimately there's a net gain there. But at the same time, I do worry about the age of the roster. That the sort of overall age of the top stars is not in, you know, in the Ring of Honor of old sort of territory in terms of a sort of younger, sort of hungrier and sort of roster looking to make a mark anymore. It's more a case of wrestlers who have made their mark and, you know, are fantastic individuals and fantastic characters and in most cases fantastic wrestlers. But at the same time, I do worry that they're not unearthing these fantastic sort of young stars that we've come to expect from Ring of Honor. You know, obviously with NXT and things like that, it's going to be more difficult, but I do think that they're missing a treat with, obviously I'm going to say this, but a lot of the youngsters on the UK indie scene. You know, they brought in Marty Scurll and they've sort of signed Will Ospreay, but, you know, there's a lot more talent out there in the UK market that is not signed up to WWE or anything like that, and I think that they could do with an influx of younger, hungrier talent. But overall on this show, I did actually quite enjoy this this show, mostly because, you know, I knew I was going to be doing an audio, and I was just looking forward to sort of watching from a different perspective, because when you watch it as someone who's just watching it as a wrestling show, it's different from when you're trying to analyze it, because, you know, you don't really think about what you're watching, whereas when you're going to analyze it, you have to sort of look at how the wrestling's going, think of the stories behind it, you know, and all that sort of stuff. So it was great for me to get back into that sort of mode, and I think that might have skewed my opinion in a positive way a little bit. But overall, you know, it was definitely an hour's worth of wrestling that I didn't regret watching. So, and without further ado, let's just go through it, and then hopefully my sort of comments might make a bit more sense. So, the ROH TV opened with footage of Christopher Daniels helping Frankie Kazarian eliminate Jay Lethal from the recent Honor Rumble. A backstage promo aired with Kazarian claiming he earned the Honor Rumble win and Daniels being censored as he spoke about the match with Lethal and Kushida. The opening montage aired and the broadcast team was Ian Riccoboni and Colt Cabana. Effective. I've said in the past I do like these opening promos before the title sequence in terms of drawing in the crowd and the viewers, and because they were going to be wrestling in the main event, you know, it just gives that little bit of a hook for the actual show, you know, to stick around to see whether or not the Addiction could back up their words, or whether or not the babyfaces could sort of knock their teeth down their throats, as it were, depending on your point of view of how you feel about the Addiction. I do want to say, and I know I would like to think that this is more of a what's the word I'm looking for, common thought amongst analysts and wrestling fans, but I really think Ian Riccoboni and Colt Cabana are possibly some of the best announcers, or certainly one of the best announced teams that are out there at the moment. You know, Ian Riccoboni is fantastic with his calls of the match and telling stories. You know, he's good at recapping a lot of stuff that's happened leading up to what's happening in the ring, and also the actual action in the ring. Whereas Colt Cabana has got the personality and has got the charm and the wit to really engage you as a viewer, and I do think that they are somewhat underrated. You know, I like to think that people, you know, enjoy their work, but I do still think that they are underrated. So ROH champion Cody made his entrance and had a fan kiss the ring. Cody sat down with the broadcast team at ringside. I'm not into the whole kiss the ring. I got a chuckle out of the whole, you know, kiss my ring thing. This is all access, so I've got to behave myself. It was a fun joke for a couple of weeks, but now it's just getting a little bit grating, but you know, I suppose that might be the whole point of it. But yeah, we had the first match of the night, which was Jonathan Gresham versus TK Orion, who had Matt Taven and Vinny Massaglia ringside with him. Before the match, a Kingdom promo aired with TK Orion talking about returning to the scene where he suffered his knee injury. Or was it a shin? I'm almost sure it was a shin. I don't mean to correct Jason, but I do think it was a shin. I could be wrong on that. He also asked where his parade is. I did feel that this was quite robotic. I've actually seen TK Orion in some promos where he's actually sort of shown a lot of personality. I didn't feel that way here. I don't know what it was. It just felt like he was talking like this, and I'm back, and this is where I had my injury, and very monotone and things like that, you know? And slightly disappointing. Matt Taven irritating me. More about that in a little bit. And Vinny Massaglia, I just get such a kick out of that guy. I just think he's... I don't know, there's this... I just want to keep watching him. He's just a little bit weird and a little bit mad. I don't know if that's more my personality or whether or not that comes across to other people. But I don't know, I usually hate things like axes and things like that, you know, as part of props in a wrestling sort of context. But with Vinny, I don't know, it just seems to fit him. And I don't know, I like the wild eyes and the facial expressions and, you know... Again, it's possibly me, and it says a lot more about my psyche than anything, but yeah, I just wanted to mention that. Cody spent some time mocking the idea of fans chanting for Dalton Castle. There is no Dalton Castle, Cody said. They show cut to break with Orion in offensive control a few minutes into the match. Before going into the whole match, we'll just get to skip to the end, so... the other members of the Kingdom tease getting involved, but Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley run out to prevent it. All six wrestlers entered the ring. The referee ejected Sabin and Shelley, which made no sense, but then ejected Taven and Massaglia. Orion shoved Paul Turner, who returned the favour, leading to Orion falling over Gresham into a pin for a two count. Gresham had a pin moments later, but Massaglia pulled the referee from the ring while he and Taven were still arguing about their ejection. I know you said ejaculation then. Taven and Massaglia entered the ring and put the boots to Gresham for the DQ. Sabin and Shelley ran out to break it up. So Jonathan Gresham beat TK Orion by DQ. I did enjoy the actual action between Gresham and Orion. It wasn't the best match you'll ever see, but it certainly wasn't the worst. There was nice fluidity there, and there was a definite sort of line between the heels and the baby faces. I don't really... Well, obviously, I know why Sabin and Shelley came out, because they're part of Search and Destroy with Gresham. But I don't really understand why the referee ejected them, because literally all they did was come out to prevent an attack, a three-on-one attack, and then climbed in the ring just to fend off the heels, and the referee ejected them. I don't really get that. And then... when he ejected Taven and Massaglia, Taven just stood there screaming, "What? What? What?" in a very cartoonish way, and I really didn't enjoy that. I also didn't like the fact that Orion shoved the referee and then the referee pushed him back. That's an instant DQ in my book. Call me old school, but at the same time, I like a bit of consistency there. And the same when Gresham had a pin and Massaglia pulled the referee out of the ring. That's an instant disqualification. I know that, you know, in the end there was a DQ, but there was on the third sort of the third DQ punishable offence, I think is the right way of putting it. And you know, I just took me completely out of the match in the moment. You know, I was enjoying it for what it was up until then, which is the opening match of the show. But I just didn't really enjoy the finish. It's obviously leading to a six-man between Search and Destroy and the Kingdom, and you know it'd be a good undercard match. Still not sold on Matt Taven, but TK Orion, Vinny Massaglia, I do think were good additions to the Kingdom overall. And Search and Destroy, I still want to know more about or actually understand logically what they're really all about. A video package aired on Bully Ray's injury and included footage of Tommy Dreamer's recent appearance on the show. And they did this quite a lot, and I was quite pleased about this in terms of keeping storylines sort of clear in your head like that, although they weren't addressed on sort of first time running new footage, they still kept the actual feuds and things like that sort of clear in the fans' minds in terms of where they are with everything. So when they do show some footage, new footage, you know, it'll be fresh in the minds of the viewers, and they haven't had to wait like 3 or 4 weeks in between sort of storyline progression. And yeah, I was quite pleased about that. I do need to mention the commercials. Anyone who listen to the audio knows my pet peeve with one of the adverts they show on the Fight TV app, which was for prostate medication. Well, here's a new advert. It's the same guy talking about an aged prostate and telling men to check their prostates and to sign up for Super Beta Prostate, which is some sort of medication. They showed it 3 times in a 15-minute show. I had to sit through a man telling me to check my prostate 3 times. Not making that up, folks. A video package aired on ROH TV champion Kenny King and Mark Briscoe winning last week's Four Corner Survival to earn a title shot. Again, just keeping it fresh in the minds of the viewers that Mark Briscoe is the number one contender and he's going to be facing Kenny King. Cody stood up at the broadcast table and spoke over the house mic while standing on his chair. Cody said he's going to right some of the wrongs in ROH now that he's a, quote, company man. He said, a kid fresh out of wrestling school came to ROH looking for an opportunity that was taken from him by Daniels and Kazarian. Cody said he felt like defending the ROH championship. Cody checked with the ring announcer Bobby Cruz to get the name right, then introduced Scorpio Sky. The broadcast team quickly noted that Sky is not a rookie who is fresh out of school, but rather a veteran who has worked all around the world. In case you didn't know who Scorpion Sky was, most of you will probably know him from, if you remember the skits with Daniel Bryan and Kane, he was actually Harold, who I believe got a chokeslam at one point, or Kane got in his face at one point. And to this day, those skits are one of my favourite of anything that Kane or Daniel Bryan did together in WWE. So I was quite pleased to see Harold, or Scorpion Sky rather, come out here. So the second match of the night was Cody versus Scorpio Sky for the ROH Championship. Cruz delivered in-ring introductions for the title match. Just to get to the end of the match, Cody released a hold and then led a yes chant. The fans also chanted for Dalton Castle, which led to Cody giving them a mean face. Cody was censored as he apparently gave the fans the bird. Sky went on the offensive and set up for a big kick, but Cody pulled the referee in front of him. Cody gouged the eyes of Sky and then applied the American Deathlock submission for the win. So Cody defeated Scorpion Sky to retain the ROH title. One thing I did want to mention was the fact that Cody Rhodes comes across as a complete star in ROH. You know, he sort of oozes sort of confidence and oozes star charisma, and it's really great to see, because you could tell that he had that in him when he was in WWE and all that, and also on the indie scene, you know, when you see him live. But in ROH he seems to have found a nice groove where he feels like he's the man, and he's playing that cocky heel character, and I really, really enjoy his work. And I like the fact that he was being arrogant and basically saying that Scorpio Sky, he's never heard of him, so essentially that he must be fresh out of school. You know, I did get a kick out of the yes chant. I don't know if he was playing a rib on Scorpio Sky with that whole Harold thing that I mentioned just now, or whether or not it just happened to be a happy coincidence. I very much doubt it, that it was a coincidence, but I did get a kick out of that. I do wish that we could kick into gear the Dalton Castle Cody Rhodes feud, because it just seems that we're just waiting for something to happen now, as opposed to actually getting to the point where the build starts. There's a lot of mentions of Dalton Castle, but we haven't seen him yet. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks we should get a bit more of that. But overall, I did enjoy this little segment. As I said, I do enjoy the cocky Cody Rhodes, the defending the ROH Championship against all comers. Scorpio Sky looked good. You know, he was given a bit of offense, you know, quite a bit of hope spots and things like that. And you know, you're obviously not going to sort of push him too hard against the champion, the cocky champion, but at the same time, you do want him to have something to hang his hat on, and they certainly did that here. Caprice Coleman hosted a Coleman's Pulpit segment. After Coleman introduced the segment, they cut to his interview with Kenny King at an undisclosed location in front of a white wall. Coleman told King he's proud of him. King spoke about bringing the title back to the United States after it had been held by Kushida and Marty Scurll before him. Coleman said it could have been the six-man tag team titles, referring to their time in the Revolution. King said they had one bad night and had to move on. Coleman asked if ROH believes in him or if they see a golden ticket because of what he's done elsewhere, obviously referring to The Bachelor. King said he believes in himself and just needed an opportunity. Coleman said ROH didn't believe in King until he made it on his own. Coleman also said he was hoping that King would get the girl on The Bachelorette reality show. King said he was secure enough to be dumped on national television. I used to really rip into Caprice Coleman. I, as I said about Matt Taven earlier on, I'm not a big fan of the cartoonish sort of, you know, reactions in wrestling. It does take me out at the moment. But and Caprice Coleman was the worst at that. I used to hate the squealing, the big bug eyes and all that sort of stuff. It used to really sort of grind my gears, to use a word from a term from Peter Griffin. But I really have enjoyed these sort of pulpit segments. I think Jason has said a number of times he tends to stir the pot quite a lot, and he tends to sort of get, not necessarily get under the skin of the interview subject, but at the same time he seems to be pushing buttons without actually pushing buttons, and I really quite enjoyed them. This wasn't the best, I will say that. This wasn't one that is going to be memorable, but I did feel that Kenny King did come across as incredibly likable, and not the character that we had seen in the Revolution and before that the Cabinet. He came across as a likable guy. He came across as a fighting champion, and we got to know a little bit about him in terms of his reality show sort of appearance and, you know, the fact that he's confident enough to be dumped on television and be able to be self-deprecating about it is an important point and an important sort of character trait. And I thought it came off rather well. I know Jason was quite down on it, but I did enjoy the segment. I do agree that is probably one of the worst ones of Coleman's Pulpit, but at the same time, I thought it was of decent quality and it did serve a purpose. Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian headed to the ring for the main event. Kazarian took the mic and reminded the fans that he and Daniels hate each other and every one of you stupid marks. Kazarian continued to rant as the broadcast team called for the show to go to a break, and again I was reminded to check my prostate. Coming out of the break, Daniels was sitting on the ropes and talking about ROH becoming what it has because of him. Riccoboni said Daniels and Kazarian complained throughout the entire commercial break. Kushida's music interrupted Daniels, and then he and later Jay Lethal made their entrances for the main event. So the third match and the main event was Jay Lethal and Kushida versus The Addiction, Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. Early in the match, Daniels left the ring and asked the crowd if they wanted to see Lethal and Kushida hurt them. Daniels said he won't give the fans what they want. He said he and Kazarian would take the count out. However, Kushida and Lethal dove onto them at ringside and got them back inside the ring to keep the match going. Just to skip to the end, a short time later, Kushida tagged back into the match and applied his hoverlock finisher on Kazarian, who rolled into a pin for a two count and to break the hold. Lethal checked back in and took out Kazarian with a lethal injection. Daniels took out Lethal, and then Kushida applied the hoverboard lock on Daniels, who tapped out. So Jay Lethal and Kushida beat The Addiction, Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. And we were then reminded Kenny King versus Mark Briscoe for the ROH TV title was hyped for next week. I did enjoy the pre-match sort of verbiage from Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. You know, proper heel work in terms of really using heel logic, which riled up the crowd and riled up the viewers at home. And it was a nice payoff at the end with Kushida and Jay Lethal getting the victory and not allowing Kushida, Kazarian and Christopher Daniels to take the count out loss. I don't know where they go from here. You know, Daniels and Kazarian have now sort of got theirs, as if you will, in terms of shutting them up after moaning and complaining about the fans and things like that. I don't know whether or not this will add more fuel to their perceived beef, in terms of saying the fans have turned on them rather than them turning on the fans. But again, you know, we're at the point now where, you know, that story's kind of finished, and you know, where do you go from here? You know, they had the Frankie Kazarian and Jay Lethal moment from the Honor Rumble, and but now Jay Lethal has got his revenge on Frankie Kazarian. So I'm not too sure where they go from here. It'd be interesting to see moving forward and what happens to the addiction. I do want Jay Lethal to start going back up the card. You know, there was a time when he held the TV title and he held the ROH World Championship that, you know, it wasn't necessarily getting stale, but he didn't have a lot of opponents that he could face, and that was kind of the reason that at the time that myself and Darren were saying that perhaps it's time for him to drop the title, drop down the card a little bit, wait for the main event to sort of rotate and refresh a little bit, and then move back into it, because he's kind of been spinning his wheels for a long time in that upper mid-card sort of level. But he is definitely a star. You know, we've already had the feud with Cody Rhodes, so perhaps that's, you know, not the best option for him. But, you know, as I'm sitting here right now, I can't really think of anyone he could work with. But I do want him to sort of get a bit more love from ROH than he's actually getting, because a lot of the time I do actually forget that he's part of the ROH roster. And that is a very sad fact, considering how much I admired his work a couple of years ago while holding both the ROH and the TV titles. So, you know, I hope that moving forward now we might get a bit more action from Jay Lethal. So that's going to do it for me. As I said, you know, I did enjoy this show, and I am fully aware that it probably was because it was the first time I was going to be analysing the show fully for a long time, you know, in preparation for audio, and I absolutely love doing these audios for you guys. You know, I have thoroughly sort of missed doing a weekly audio show for you lot. So thank you for bearing with me, and thank you for the people who've actually reached out to find out why I haven't been doing audio. You know, I haven't sort of gone into detail, only because, you know, I didn't want to jinx any treatment I was having. I'm very superstitious like that, and also, you know, it's you come to a wrestling website for a bit of escapism. You don't want to sort of be reminded about everyday sort of things that, you know, get you down, or sort of hear some bad news. You want to be able to forget about that. So I'm sorry if I sort of kayfabed any of you guys in terms of sort of not revealing the real reasons and all that, but hopefully you understand, you know. Just a quick sort of plug for my weekly blog. I've been in the time that I've been trying to get my voice back, I've been writing a weekly blog on the main pages of prowrestling.net, and it's usually on a Friday, and it's basically just my thoughts and sort of rundown of what I think of what's happened during the week. I try and make it as fun and as light as possible, and I do like taking the mickey out of Impact Wrestling quite a lot. So check that out, and as always, let me know either on Twitter at Hayden Gleed or via email hayden.gleed@gmail.com. So that's going to do it for me, and I will speak to you again next week.